I just lost sound.
For coming today. We are so glad that you're here. My name is Cindy Kelly, and it is my privilege and honor to be your host this morning at beautiful Ed Wallin State Park. This is a no judgment zone. We want you to feel comfortable in how you worship this morning. Stay seated, stand, sing, don't sing. You're a gift from God, and we're so thankful that you're here. For those of you that are joining us online, a special welcome to you. We're streaming our services now through our website, and you can download a worship folder there. If you want to plug in and mention that you're visiting with us, we will acknowledge that. For those of you that are first-time guests here at our at the beach service, if you would pull out the connection card and complete your name on that and whatever other information you feel comfortable with. If you want to say how you found us, that would be great also. For members, your name is sufficient. Our mission at Hope on the Beach Church is awakening hearts to Jesus every day. And it is our prayer that you're encouraged at the worship service this morning to go and where you work, live, and play to awaken the hearts to Jesus. Our pastor Ray is going to be joining us shortly to deliver our message. And we're continuing in the book of Acts. And the message this morning is the miracle and the message. As we enter into this time of worship, we all recognize that this is a holy time. We have the freedom in Christ to worship Him. We have the freedom to renew our hearts. He's given us this opportunity. Let us all join together in prayer as we start our worship. Oh, holy God, we thank You that You have assembled us this morning. We thank You for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, Your Son. We thank You for that wonderful freedom we have. Father, we acknowledge You are holy, and we acknowledge Your presence here. Father, this has been a tough week. As we know, there are hearts saddened from the tragedies that happened this past week. Father, Your holy scripture says that You will mend the broken hearts and bind their wounds. Father, we pray for their comfort this morning. May Your Holy Spirit come down upon us and Your word be received, and may we go away changed. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
You guys feel free to stand with us as we worship this morning.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles.
Today and wants to take our pain. He doesn't want to just remove our pain, but He wants to Sometimes he just wants to sit with us in that pain, right? Because it doesn't just magically vanish. But he wants to make us stronger from that pain. And in a lot of ways, it feels like he just takes it away. Then we meet someone who's a little behind us in that road. And we go, oh man, I've been there. And we're able to reach down and kind of hold them up in that. And if he just came and like waved a wand and it disappeared, we wouldn't be able to do that, right? He doesn't waste anything. God, we thank you for that this morning. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior alone. Curse the tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still.
Glad you're all here this morning, and thank you so much for warming us up today. You feel warmer, don't you? I don't know. Today's Groundhog Day. Did y'all know that? It's a great day to watch, rewatch the movie, and But I hope that, I guess he saw his shadow and we'll have more winter, but that's okay. We can do it. But I just want to welcome you to Hope on the Beach. I'm Pastor Ray, and I will be filling in today for Pastor Jason. So I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Can we do that? Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the warm sunshine, the sound of the waves on the beach. We thank you for waking us up to a new day in which to serve you. As we hear your word, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place to move among us, to fill us, to excite us, to draw us close to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, we're working through the book of Acts, and today we're on Acts chapter 3, and it's only been a few weeks since Jesus died, rose from the dead, met with his disciples, and right before his eyes, their eyes, he ascended into heaven. Have you ever wondered, A, why Jesus didn't take his disciples with him when he ascended? Would that have been cool? I mean, he came to rescue mankind, and so his disciples were watching him. There he goes. I've often wondered why Jesus didn't take them with him. Why did he leave them there in a world which he knew they would be persecuted and have trouble in this world? And why doesn't Jesus immediately take us to heaven when we become Christians? He just leaves us here. Why does he leave us here in a world filled with heartache and pain and suffering? Well, the answer is found in the book of Acts in one verse. The most important verse in the book of Acts, because that one verse sets the stage for everything else that happens in the book of Acts. Right before Jesus ascends into heaven, he explains to his disciples why he's not taking them. He said this in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The whole book of Acts can be summarized in this one verse, Acts 1:8. Jesus left them behind for one reason, so they could be his witnesses. And he expected them to devote themselves to this mission and make this mission the focus of their lives. Now, that's been over 2,000 years ago. I will tell you that the message is still the same, the mission is still the same, and God still expects his followers to become witnesses, no less than the first Christians who heard this. Do you think they were excited? Yes, they were. That's why we're here. That's our mission. That's our purpose. But here's the problem. We often get sidetracked and we lose focus. It's kind of like when you go into one room of your house to get something and you get distracted by something else. And for the life of you, you can't remember what it was that you walked into the room to get. You ever done that? Isn't that annoying? That is so annoying. How easy it is to get distracted. We get distracted by the comforts and concerns of this world. And I mean, it even happens to whole churches. Believe it or not, there are whole churches that get distracted. You wouldn't even know that they have a witness or a purpose. That's why we need to be reminded again and again and again why we're here. How many of you have been on Hope's website? Hope on the Beach's website. If you haven't been there, go there. Because there you find our mission statement. And I'm going to read just part of it. Our mission is to awaken hearts to Jesus every day. We are the church, everyone. Wherever we go, everywhere, and no matter the day, every day, the measurement of a great church is not Sunday, but how we live when we leave the building or the beach. We leave on a mission. That's the mission field. You are missionaries. You're being instructed this morning, and when you leave here, you are a missionary for Christ. And that's exactly the kind of reminder we'll find this morning in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Peter and John were being faithful to the mission that Jesus had given them. And chapter 3 begins with Peter and John. They're going to go worship, just like when you're coming here this morning. The law of Moses said that only men who were ceremonially clean could enter the temple for worship. Women, children, cripples, people who had diseases, foreigners, they had to stay outside of the temple. And the theology of the day meant that if you were sick or crippled, you probably had sin in your family, so you're not welcome here. And your place was to sit by the gate. And if you were a cripple, that's where you sat. You sat by the gate. So in Acts chapter 3, witnessing began with seeing this need. B, the need for healing. So let's get into our text. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at the ninth hour. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful Gate to ask alms for those entering the temple. And let's stop there. There were 9 gates that entered into the temple courtyard. And this man was sitting at a gate called Nicanor. The Jewish historian Josephus describes this gate as being very ornate. It was covered in Corinthian bronze. In fact, there were other gates covered in gold and silver, but this gate was covered in Corinthian bronze, and it was beautiful. In fact, the nickname of the gate was Beautiful Gate. And it was so elegant that people wanted to go through that gate to worship. So this guy, this lame beggar, said, you know what? I'm going to pick the most popular gate. I'll have the most people. So he wasn't dumb. If you have to beg, that's the place to go beg. We never learned this man's name. All we know is he's been born lame. His family or his friends, somebody carries him and sets him down in front of the gate to beg every day. And then they go about their business. And like the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Peter and John were on their way to the temple where they saw this man in need. They could have passed by on the other side of the road. But the Holy Spirit moved them to stop and help this man. And they were just doing what Jesus did. Yeah, they could have made an excuse why they didn't have time to stop. After all, they're going to worship God. I mean, what's more important than worshiping God? They could have seen this man as a distraction and passed him by. You ever been distracted from witnessing? Ever been distracted? I tell you, I've been distracted many times, but I want to tell you about one specific time that happened in 2001. It was a long time ago, but it made such an impression upon me. It changed my life, my distraction. In 2001, I was shopping at the GNC. You know the Silver Sands Outlet malls down here? You ever been there, the Silver Sands? I was at the GNC at the Silver Sands Outlet Mall, and there was only one employee in the store, and he was putting stuff in the closet, unloading boxes, stocking shelves. So it was just me and him until this young girl walks in. I should call her a lady. And she asked me, do you work here? And I said, no. And I said, well, what are you looking for? And she said, I have a stress job, and I'm trying to get off of caffeine. Well, my wife, Debbie, taught me a lot about nutrition. And so I said to her, well, you need to look out for stuff like sugar or high fructose corn syrup because you don't want to get on that. And I asked her if she's tried vitamin B because, you know, vitamin B helps. And she goes, no, I haven't. And so we sat down and we laid out all these supplements on the floor. I'm on my knees. She's on her knees. And we're this close together. She's beautiful. She looked like someone I should know. I couldn't place her. And we had all this stuff laid out. And then finally, we put it all back on the shelf. And we both left after about 15 minutes. I learned from Debbie that Britney Spears had been seen at a clothing store a few minutes before. And I went, ah, that's who that was. She goes, what? I said, yeah, Britney Spears. I was talking to Brittany Spears, explaining to her about vitamin B. And I said, and that explains the big guy that stood at the door and never came in. He stood right at the door, big guy. And he was our bodyguard. I had an opportunity to witness. I didn't. I was distracted by her beauty. Seriously. I lead evangelism classes on how to witness to people. And I didn't witness to Britney Spears. A few years later, when she shaved her head, remember that day? Yeah. As much as I hate to admit it, I was distracted. But what Britney Spears needed was not vitamin B. She needed Jesus. You know, Peter and John in our story this morning didn't get distracted from the mission they were on when they saw this beggar. They could have said, he's a beggar, let's not waste our time, but they didn't. In fact, Luke tells us about this man's physical condition. Number one, his physical condition is A, he was lame from birth. Lame from birth. Why is this important for us to know? Well, because he's pretty much hopeless. If you're lame from birth, it's not like he had an accident he can be healed from. He was lame from birth, and Luke, who was a doctor by profession, wants his readers to know this is not some guy who's faking his lameness so he can beg at the gate and not have to work. He's 40 years old. Later we learn he's 40 years old. He was well known in the community. And he's been lame from birth. You can fake a headache, but you sure can't fake this. Being lame meant that he was dependent on others. When he was a boy, he had to watch and listen while other kids his age ran and played, went off to school. He had to stay home and sit on his pallet. That's all he did. And when his friends got older and marched down the aisle with their bride, not him. He had to watch from the side, and he said to himself, you know, no one will ever marry a lame beggar. When they went off to work, he had to lie on his bed and beg because he was dependent upon the charity of other people. And what about number two, his spiritual condition? Well, the lame man may have been religious, but he wasn't a Christian. You know, there are a lot of religious people in the world, and some of them even attend church on Sundays. And the difference between religion and Christianity is this. Religion is man's attempt to reach God by doing religious things. Religion is man's attempt to try to reach God by doing religious things, but our arms are too short. Christianity is God reaching down to man through his son, Jesus Christ. And therein lies the difference. This man had a lack of hope. He never thought his situation would ever change. This is how it is and will always be until the day I die, he thought to himself. The only hope that he had was enough money to live for another day. And there's so many people living like that. Another day, another dollar, another dollar, another day. And they're living like that, and that's the only hope they have is just to get through the day. And that's why the name of this church is Hope on the Beach. Because people need hope. If you don't have hope, you don't have anything. He also, B, had an unawareness of true healing. You know, how many people do you know that have all their physical needs met, life seems to be going great for them, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus? They're not interested. Instead of relying on God, they rely on their stuff, and they get their stuff by the money that they earn so they can buy stuff, and their stuff becomes their idol, their stuff becomes their God. They don't own stuff. Their stuff owns them. They're spiritually blind. They're unaware of what Jesus can give them. That is until they get into a situation where all the money in the world couldn't help them. Only then, when they hit rock bottom, will sometimes look beyond themselves to God for answers. So what is this man expecting? See, his man's expectations is this, Acts 3:3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Hey, you know what it's like. You ever pull up to a red light and there's a guy with a little sign that says, help me, anything will help, beggars at the side of the road? They want your attention. That's why you don't make eye contact, do you? Because as soon as you make eye contact, what do? They approach your car. And as long as you don't make eye contact, they'll move on to the next car. Well, Peter and John turned the tables on this beggar. Instead of the beggar wanting them to look at him, Peter says, "Look at us. Look at us. We want your attention." That was a total reversal of what this man was expecting. You know, one of the things I've learned in life is regardless of what you see on the outside, what's on the inside is an eternal soul. Every living person has an eternal soul that will either end up in heaven or hell. That's the way God sees people. That's the way God calls us to see people, as people who have eternal souls. We are called to look at the world the way God looks at the world. So, one, where was this man's focus? A, the things of the world. And B, temporal things. Everything he wanted was temporal. So he was looking at the things of the world and temporal things. The unnamed man, he's sitting at the temple gate, probably thought, if I could just walk, I'll never be sad again. Is that true? Think about it. Just about everybody here walked here this morning from there to here, right? Are you ever sad? Or do you say to yourself, "I can walk, I'll never be sad"? You still get sad, and walking doesn't equate happiness. The beggar needed something more, something spiritual, something that will last forever. So number two, what can fill the hole in the man's heart? We all have something that we think, if we only had that, then I'll be satisfied. Many people have those things and they're not satisfied. We need something more than physical, something more than money, something more than great relationships. We need Jesus. Only Jesus can fill that hole in your heart. And look what happens next. The man moved from religion to relationship. The man moved from religion to relationship. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, a gift to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with him, walking and leaping in praising God. This is one of the most dramatic stories in Scripture. Peter is just simply following in the footsteps and doing what Jesus did. Reach out the hand of faith and brought salvation healing to this man. Peter says, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you." What is it that he had? He had a relationship with Jesus Christ. The church is called to take care of the physical needs of people, but ultimately we are called to take care of the spiritual needs of people. If we only have social ministries and take care of the physical needs of people, we just become another Red Cross. The mission of the church is to declare the gospel of Jesus. And Peter knew where the healing came from. So he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And for the first time in his life, this man stood up. He found he couldn't keep from leaping. And he followed Peter and John into the temple. And he was leaping into the temple. The priest probably said, what's with this guy? You know, he's not very reverent for the first time into the temple. And the man says, I can't help myself, and can you blame me? Think about this man's joy. He's 40 years old. He's never walked before in his life. And what was normal to everyone else was an impossible dream to him. And now, against all hope, he's standing and he's walking. But more importantly, he was introduced to the one who healed him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Number one, physical healing without spiritual healing is worthless. Because every spiritual healing at some point will end in death. Every physical healing. But spiritual healing goes on forever. Every miracle Jesus and the apostles did was an alleviation of suffering. And Jesus didn't perform miracles just to show off his power. The reason Jesus performed miracles is to point to his saving purpose. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created it perfectly before the fall. It was without pain. It was without blindness, without disease, without death. All of this came through the corruption of sin. Pain and disease weren't part of God's original plan. You see, God's miracles, when Jesus did miracles, he points back to the Garden of Eden. This is how it was in the Garden of Eden. But when Jesus did miracles, he also points forward. He says, one day, it's going to be like this again. And those of you who are in constant pain, that should give you some sort of hope and sustaining hope. We say we believe this because I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come when we say the Nicene Creed. The resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You know, Tim Keller, and I have this in your notes, he was paraphrasing C.S. Lewis when he wrote, at that great marriage supper of the Lamb, the first thing I'll do on resurrection legs is to follow my glorified knees and praise God of resurrection and healing. And then I will stand and dance before him with all my might. And it kind of reminds me of that song, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe will I be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When you wake up in the morning, I hope that you're excited, that you're one day closer to being with Jesus in heaven, and that God is giving you another day to live for him. If not, maybe, just maybe it's because you've left your first love, number two. Have you left your first love? John wrote this in Revelation 22:2. God was speaking to him, and he says, I know your deeds. He was speaking to the church. I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. You found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. You know, the devil, the flesh, and the world are constantly pulling you away from God. And they're distracting you from your relationship with Jesus. There's other things to do than read the Bible. There's other things to do than pray. There's other things to do than go to church. And if we're not diligent, we find ourselves falling out of love with him. And our relation with him grows cold. If this is you, I pray that, as the scriptures say, that you will remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first by spending time with him in his word. by spending time with him in prayer. As we come to the end of this section of our reading, we have to ask, E, who are you in this story? Who are you in this story? And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognizing him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple and asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, number one, we are both beggar and disciples. Never forget where you came from. We too were beggars. We were lost without hope until God in his mercy saved us. We might not have been physically lame, but we were spiritually lame. We may not have been physically crippled, but we were spiritually crippled with sin. We had a terminal illness called original sin, which ends an eternity in hell. So what we needed most is not silver or gold or better health, more wealth, or nicer spouse or a bigger house or a faster car. What we need most is freedom from our sin, forgiveness. And in the name of Jesus Christ, that's what he's done for us. We are healed. Maybe not in body yet, but your soul and your spirit has been healed. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is to the west, I will remember your sins no more. Though they be as red as scarlet, I wash them as white as snow. I throw them into a sea of forgetfulness. So if you're carrying around guilt, if you're carrying around shame, bring them to the Lord. Lord, I am sorry. And he says, because of my son Jesus Christ bled on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, I forgive you your sins. And I forget that it ever happened. Go and live your life. One day he will restore our physical health and give us glorified bodies. One day, even after we're dead and gone and our bodies and flesh have decayed, Jesus will say to us, arise and walk. And our bodies, even though they turn to dust, will be restored and we will rise to be with Jesus and walk with him in heaven forever. In the song Amazing Grace, you know, fill in the blank. A, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We are the beggar in this story. You and I also are Peter and John. The lame man adjusted to his infirmity and made the best he could. All right, I'm a cripple. I'll always be a cripple. I just got to get used to it. Many people you talk to have adjusted to their spiritual lostness. They think more money, better stuff is the answer to their emptiness. They think technology and all those toys and electronic distractions the best they can do. But ultimately, these things don't work. They may pacify for a time, but soon they realize they have again failed to find peace and meaning. Like the lame man, they hold out their hand waiting for the next thing. I'm going to get an iPhone, the next iPhone, or I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. The only hope the lame man ever had is that some rich man would give him a large sum of money. But then John and Peter walked by. You know, how tragic would it have been if Peter and John had walked by and gave the man what he expected? Oh, here's a coin. Have a nice day. Or what if, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, they just passed by and did nothing? It would have been tragic. Why? Because he had so much to give him. Because of Jesus, they possessed hope, good news, and eternal life. I'm going to give you an evangelism lesson. I want you to help me with it. It goes like this from John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, then whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We live in the midst of a multitude of spiritual lameness. You've had your sins forgiven, but he's also given you a mission. And you know what happens if you start proclaiming what God has done for you? People will be filled with wonder and amazement at what has happened to you. And when we tell others about spiritual healing he has given us, They will be in wonder and amazement when we tell others about Jesus and what he has given us. They too can be healed. But they'll never know unless you tell them. Remember the most important verse in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts is, "You will be my witnesses." We are called to be Jesus' witnesses. We are called to look intently at the world as the way God sees it. Yeah, sometimes we'll get distracted. Sometimes we'll lose our sense of purpose. And that's why we're saved by grace through faith. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 1:21. "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between two. I desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know I will remain, and I will continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. It's more necessary for you that I remain." This means as long as you are alive, you are necessary. Let me say that again. As long as you're alive, you're necessary for the kingdom of God. So that brings me to our memory verse. Would you say this with me? "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Can we say that again? "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." If you believe that, live that. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word that is true, that is powerful. As once again we heard how you work in the world through your people. Again, work through us as your people to bring many to the glorious truth of the forgiveness of sins because of the good news of Jesus. I pray that all the people that are here this morning, Lord, they know others who don't know you. Loosen their tongues, empower them with the Holy Spirit so they do not get distracted or sidetracked, but would proclaim John 3:16 to their neighbor, to their friends, to their family, to their loved ones. Continue to work through Hope on the Beach, Lord, and we be a beacon, a light to South Walton. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. Very moving words that we continue to unfold in the book of Acts. We're coming to that time in our worship to reflect on what we've heard and to move on that in obedience to God. Our time of offerings and tithes. We're reminded in the book of Corinthians, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Corinth, for them to be in prayer about their tithes and offerings, to be joyful in their giving, because we know that God loves a cheerful giver. There are several ways that you can submit your tithes and offerings through the envelope that you have in your worship folder, and also a text to give or the QR code. If you will now also complete and look at the connection card, you'll find on the back some opportunities to plug into Hope on the Beach Church. We have some wonderful events coming up. This coming Saturday, the Women of Hope, the Galantine Day Party. Also, we're beginning in the Hope on the Beach Church, a youth initiative beginning February 12th at 5 o'clock for the young people to plug in to learning more about Jesus and worshiping through song, learning how to play an instrument. We also have, you mentioned there, the chili cook-off, which is a wonderful event for you to invite your friends, family, neighbors, and you can find out how you can plug into that also. As you put those connection cards in your offering in the buckets as they come around, and you have a prayer request, please put that on there. The staff and the prayer team at our church will collect those and pray over those. We want you to know that we care. As we continue our worship, our ushers will come around with the blue buckets and take up our offering.
Imagine just for a moment, Jesus coming this way. He's walking on the beach. And as Jesus approaches us, you were excited. He's here! And as you see him, you get very excited. And Jesus says, wow, I've been here all along. Never left you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I've been here all morning long. And then all of a sudden, he says, you know, I've been with you all week. I know every thought that you had in your head. I've seen everything you've ever done this week. And then all of a sudden, your joy turns to, wow. And he said, I know what you're thinking. And I'm here to forgive you of all your sins. That's why I died on the cross. Because we sin in thought, word, and deed by the things that we do and by the things we don't do. And as Jesus looks at you, he says, I forgive you all your sins. As far as the east is from the west, I remember them no more. What else can I do for you? And at that moment, there's a release of your guilt, of your sin, of your past, and you have the freedom to give Jesus the biggest hug that you've ever had. You ever seen that picture, first day in heaven, where this woman is hugging Jesus? You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to do that. This morning, Jesus is present with us, not only spiritually, but physically in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. And in your bulletin, you have these words. We celebrate the Lord's Supper in glad confidence that, as Jesus said, this meal is not only bread and wine, but it's the very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. If you have been baptized, repent of your sins, and desire the life of grace offered by Jesus, then we welcome you to the Lord's table. As God's forgiving people, we welcome you to the table of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we receive you in the bread and the wine,